Good morning again. Are you a good listener? There won't be a test at the end of the presentation this morning, but I think I am a good listener most of the time. Marjorie might have a different opinion. But like all of us, sometimes I don't listen very well. Let's face it, listening is difficult and you have to practice. If you're listening, it means you're paying attention. This morning, I want to talk about listening and the fact that even some very smart people don't always listen very well. And along with that, how does God try to communicate with us? Then we'll address the consequences of not listening. Next, I want to talk about how we can know who we should listen to. And finally, I'll talk about what we do after we listen. So even the smartest people don't always listen. How many examples of this truth do we have in the Bible? Some pretty spectacular ones. Let's start with Moses. We've been discussing the life of Moses in our adult Sunday school class. But from the very beginning, he doesn't listen very well. Let's look at Exodus 3, verses 10 and 11. God says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children out of Israel, out of Egypt? And he goes on in chapter 4, verse 1, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Moses is skeptical and doubtful, and he's just like us, isn't he? Even after all of the demonstrations of God's power, he sometimes doesn't listen. That's demonstrated again in Numbers chapter 20 when he does not follow God's instructions when he's calling the water from the rocks at Meribah. He indicates by his actions that it's his power and Aaron's power that is bringing forth the water rather than God's. We just read another example of this morning in Numbers chapter 22. Balaam listened sometimes, but not others. This one's a little more subtle, but something Balaam did made God understand that he was not listening. There's another good example in 1 Kings chapter 11. First Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go in with them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart from after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Solomon did wonderful things. He displayed knowledge and wisdom, but even he didn't always listen. And of course, these examples continue in the New Testament. How many examples can we recall of people who did not listen? There's one set of verses that seem to sum this up in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verses starting at verse 31. And the Lord said, "Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, 'We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, 'He hath a devil.' The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, 'Behold the gluttonous man and the winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners.' But wisdom is justified of all her children." We have to listen. God tries to reach us in many ways. We are not privileged to have the direct communication that some of our forefathers had. Moses, Solomon, David, Balaam, and many others got the message directly. But what about today? What's the best way to reach us now? I think there are three principal ways that God speaks to us now, though He's not limited to these, of course. First, through the Bible. Second, through answered prayers. And third, through our brotherhood. The Bible acts as a reliable guide for us that is fixed in print. We can refer to it, discuss it with others, we can reason about it and consider all the evidence it provides. It's a very good guide. Second, answered prayer is extremely powerful to the one whose prayers have been answered. But to another person, it may feel like this is too subjective to be a useful indicator. Finally, we have our brotherhood. God can speak to us through our brothers and sisters, our friends, our wives, our husbands, our children. The idea that God may be speaking to us through our brother or our wife is sometimes the furthest thing from our minds, especially if we are being criticized. We quickly jump to a defensive reaction. In fact, we may react just like Balaam did. We need to consider and be thoughtful, not reactive. Now, what can the consequences be when we don't listen? Let's face it, they can be pretty bad. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32, starting at verse 51. God is talking to Moses. Because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel, yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither into the land which I give the children of Israel. Aaron and Moses, after wandering in the desert for 40 years, are kept from entering the land. Solomon not only married the foreign women, he also set up high places for the gods of his wives. What were the consequences there? In 1 Kings chapter 11, starting at verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And he commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, Forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. This must have been quite a blow to Solomon, something he did not expect. And what about Balaam that we read this morning in Numbers 22? In verse 32. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me, and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. Now, how do we know what to listen to? I mentioned the three main sources we can use, the Bible, answered prayer, and our brotherhood. But we must always be cautious in our interpretation. Have you ever dealt with someone who keeps asking the same question over and over again to different people until he gets the answer he wants to hear? Kids are sometimes very good at this. If mom says no, then go ask dad. I've even experienced this in my workplace. So we need to be sure we are asking the right questions, listening to the answers, and then understanding them. God will keep sending messages to us. We need to listen. Now, what do we do after we listen? Listening to the Scriptures, we all know, is important in our lives. Let's look at a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So are we just listening? No, we have to use what we learn. We have to apply the lesson. The definition of wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. We must go about our lives applying what we learn every day to the best of our ability. This is restated for us in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. But he said, "Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." That was really one of the problems of the scribes and Pharisees, wasn't it? They had extensive knowledge of the law of Moses, but they didn't apply it correctly. Balaam finally got the message, didn't he? Even though Balak promises him great wealth to curse Israel, he keeps on blessing them. And the story ends up in Numbers chapter 24, verses 12 and 13. And Balaam said unto Balak, "Spake I not also to thy messengers which sendest thou unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak." Balaam listened. We need to listen too with all our hearts and minds. Now we're going to turn our attention to the memorial table. Jesus' message for us through this table and these words is one of hope. We remember His sacrifice for us with thankfulness. We pray for His return so that we might share this bread and wine with Him in God's kingdom, reestablished here on earth. Come quickly, Lord Jesus.